Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Lisa Simeone. There's a painting by Giotto. It's a medieval scene. Peasants and prosperous citizens lead separate lives within the same frame. Up the hill are the well-off families. Down the hill are the poor in virtual isolation. Giotto worked in the 13th century, and he wasn't the first artist to notice parallel lives in the same city neighborhood. But as I listened to this week's Soundprint, his painting came back to me, and I realized it's really about how parallel lives are often quite similar. One could be a mirror of the other. Our story today by writer Dennis Bartel picks up where Giotto left off. It's called Our Daily Bread.
My doctor says I don't need to be around mental people. I am not mentally ill. I have a depression and also have a disability, but the only thing I need is sometimes like to talk to someone and get my depression off of me. And I do that.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
I got 3 seats up front, 2 seats up front. Please come take them. One here, please come take them, Bill.
Good job, my fellow boys.
Lord have mercy.
Wait out there, okay? There you go, honey. Why you at it?
Stand against the wall, huh?
Yeah.
Steve. How you been doing? Long time no see.
Uh-huh.
Hey. Yeah? How long you been in?
I've been in Baltimore for 2 years.
No trouble.
The last time I see you haven't been there 2 years.
Oh, I've been in a couple different places.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I gotta look.
Okay, check it in, Steve. Gloria. Sweet Gloria. I have a seat up front. Please come take it. Have one seat here. Have a seat in the back.
Hey, honey, do you like living on the street?
In the summer months, I don't like exactly. I like living outdoors in the daytime. But I don't like sleeping out on the streets. Now, I like laying out in the sun and getting a suntan and things like that, and walking boardwalks and things like that, and enjoying the nature of the life and the water, going down to the Daily Bread, and not the Daily Bread, the harbor or the Annapolis.
Oh.
Down there where the boats are.
Sure.
And watch the water and stand on that bridge and watch the sky.
Well, where do you sleep then?
Me? I just don't sleep. I just sleep. During the day, I just relax most of the time. I sit down, like on a bench somewhere, sit down and relax.
What about in the middle of the night?
The night, most of the time, I try to stand. I stand, like, up against a pole or something where it's light on it, you know, shining on it, bright, where people are mostly going up and down. They'll see you there. But I don't want somebody even bothering me or wanting me to go with them anywhere at night, because I don't want to go with anybody at night because I don't know them that well.
My dad was an alcoholic, man. He would lose one job, then he'd decide he had to straighten his act up and quit drinking. He could quit drinking, he'd get another job somewhere else, we'd move somewhere else. Then he'd, a lot of times he also did real estate work, and he's always being sent around to work in different offices all over San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, Orange County, Long Beach, stuff like that. At first it was exciting, you know, all these different places, meeting all these different people. I think the only real problem with it was having to uproot. After a while, you got tired of uprooting, losing friends, and having to make new friends.
So did you, like, start drinking when you were really young because it was always around?
Actually, I think my first drink, my parents let me have a beer when I was about 15 years old. You know, I just drank it, didn't like it, didn't dislike it. I was excited, right, because I figured I was doing something, the kind of things adults do. But I drank one of them. It really wasn't anything special, so I didn't drink it again. But I wish I knew then what I knew now, is that, is that alcoholism can be hereditary, and you can inherit the predisposing factors from a relative or past relatives that had the same factors. If I'd known that then, I wouldn't have started drinking.
What brought you to Baltimore?
I met a guy in downtown LA. I knew him for about a year. He was from here. And he wanted to come to Baltimore, but he was broke. He told me that he had a shot at getting a job at the shipyards, and that if I would come with him, he'd try and get me hooked up too. And even if I couldn't get a job here right away, he knew some people I could stay with till I found a job somewhere, or at least till I could get out of the labor pool. Well, at that time I was getting disability, so I bought him a ticket. I bought me a ticket, and we both rode up here. I stayed at his friend's place that night. Night we got here. The next day he took off, got some money that a friend owed him, took off on a bus to Norfolk, Virginia, and that's the last I seen of him. So of course the first thing I did was go out and get drunk as a skunk. Of course I came back drunk as a skunk, and his friend said I couldn't stay with him. So one of his friend's next door neighbor, who also knew Don, told me I could stay with him. They'd rent me a room out. And luckily at that time I think they charged me $100 a month. It wasn't a bad room either. It was about 15 feet by 15 feet, which isn't bad for $100 a month.
I think so. Would you like one? Okay.
I want to oppose now.
All right, I'll see what I can do. I was a vegetarian, and he says maybe he doesn't want any coleslaw. It sort of limits it. All right.
I cannot eat this.
Yeah, this one right here. Two hot dogs. Well, now he's decided he's not a vegetarian.
Oh, he's not a vegetarian.
He says he didn't want to eat this. He just said, give me two hot dogs.
Just two hot dogs?
Any chance of one milk being left? Might be a story, but he has an ulcer.
There might be some in the refrigerator. No, we can't. We're running low. Can't have any seconds. Some more tea? Okay.
I come up here to do research studies for, Johns Hopkins, pharmacokinetics, places like that. And they pay you, anywhere from $300 to $800. It depends on what kind of study you do.
What kind of study were you in?
Comparing brand name drugs with generic drugs. And they just give you a pill and see how long it stays in your system, it's very simple. The only thing that is a hassle about it, I guess, is all the sticks you have to go through.
You mean taking blood?
Yeah.
What sort of drugs would they give you?
Well, this one I was given was a blood pressure pill. Supposed to slow it down a little bit, things like that. They just experiment with different types of drugs, really. And I don't go to Francis Scott Key too much. They do a lot of the real drug studies. And, I got burned out on certain drugs years ago. I was into coke a lot and kind of burned myself out on that. And so I managed to quit doing it. It wasn't very easy, but it was, a lot of willpower that you gotta have to do it. And so I just stick with mostly alcohol. Once in a while I'll join or two, but as far as anything heavy, I stay away from it.
I remember when the first time I got drunk, I drank to get drunk. I fell in love with it just like that. Oh, you can all, if you're an alcoholic, you can come up with a lot of reasons now, but you don't want to admit the fact that you're drinking because you're an alcoholic, because you have to have it. So I always came up with some kind of reason. If the A-Team didn't come on TV 8 o'clock channel 2 Friday night, I'd have to get drunk over that. I was low on money one time, and I remember the what they used to call a pint of Thunderbird back then. What they called a pint of T-Bird was actually 4/5 of a pint, a small round bottle. I drank, bought that, decided to try that one time, bought it and drank it. It wasn't that strong, and it tastes lousy, but it was cheap rot gut, but I guess because of all the chemicals they put in, it hits you quick. And I liked the feeling. I hated the taste, but when, you know, once you start getting a little bit numb, the taste, you don't notice the taste. Then I went and bought a gallon of it. And I wish I could remember what I did that night, because I was told that the place I was living in, I started running up and down the hallway, trying to kick doors in, screaming my head off, yelling at people, going nuts. They called the police. As drunk as I was, it took about 4 or 5 policemen to subdue me. And usually when you get drunk, it takes less, because you lose, you know, your energy sapped and everything. You get groggy. But something in me, I don't know why, for some reason, it had some effect on my brain that I just snapped. I woke up in a seclusion room the next day, and they must have shot me up with some kind of medication, because I didn't have any kind of a hangover at all, and I should have. And they told me that apparently I'd gone temporarily psychotic. So I really didn't. I wanted out. I said to them, I'm leaving. They said, like, hell you are.
So how long were you there?
About 4 months.
Things get better after 4 months?
Oh, yeah, they got better until I started drinking again.
That's one thing. One thing that messed me up a long time ago was drinking. I used to like to drink with a bunch of guys, you know, stand around, talk, and have fun and stuff like that. When I started drinking, I come to find out that was messing me up too. Because I would go places and I thought I was having a nice time, and half of the time I was sitting there asleep. Like they was having a party somewhere, a birthday celebration, or something like that. And I was sitting there, and somebody asked me, said they'd have a nice time of that. I said, yeah. Then I thought back, I won't, because at halftime I was sitting there drunk asleep. I didn't even know what was going on in there until I came back. So I didn't have no nice time. So I just quit. I just quit drinking. I quit drinking about 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, I just quit.